And this week our topic is finances, money. And what that means is that maybe you don't have enough money. When there's not enough money, it feels like all hell breaks loose. Here's an indication of it. When I was in college, I remember being at the store and having $14 to shop for 2 weeks of food. Kraft macaroni and cheese, baby. That's what I was buying. Unexpected things come up that hit you from left field. And right when you get married, sometimes it feels like you just start to get ahead a little bit because you got the two incomes working and all of a sudden you got a lot of money working for you. And then the kids arrive and they cost a ton. Worth every penny, but they cost a lot. One time I was cruising through life and I got a letter from the IRS, and you never want to see that show up in your mailbox. And I open up the letter, and I'm reading through it, and it says, you owe $18,000 in back taxes. Talk about all hell breaking loose. And for the next week, that's what it felt like. It all got cleared up, but for about a week, it felt like all hell broke loose. Sometimes when you don't have enough money. Of course, it's not always that, because it can be equally as frustrating when you have plenty of money, but you can't buy the things that you really need. There's a couple people that have written some books recently about different lottery winners. And one of them, let me read it to you. Don McNay, he's the author of Life's Lessons from the Lottery. Here's what he says. So many of them wind up unhappy or broke. People have terrible things happen to them. They run out of their money, they get divorced, and some have even died. A St. Louis woman wrote this book, How Winning the Lottery Changed My Life. I had to endure the greed and the need of the people around me who tried to get me to release my money to them. That caused a lot of emotional pain. These are people who I loved deep down, but they're turning into vampires trying to suck the life out of me. Now get this, this is a direct quote. This is a couple that had a lottery ticket and they won $500 million. Here's what they said. You know, my wife said she wished we had never got that ticket and she had just torn it up. And after having it, I wish we'd have torn it up too. See, so here's the thing. When you have plenty of money and you realize it's not buying what I really need, I can't purchase some of the things that I need, I can't buy a great marriage. I can't purchase my innocence back. I can't go to a store and buy some kind of a magic drink that'll make me forgive someone. I can't pay off my shame. I can't pay someone money to make them forgive me if they don't want to. All hell can break loose. You can go off the road on either side of the dish. I don't have enough money. Or I have plenty of money, but it doesn't buy what I really want. Now here's the big idea this weekend, and put it in your, grab your note sheet out. Money makes a mean master. That's our topic. All hell breaks loose. Money makes a mean master. Jesus had a real blunt way that he looked at. Here's what he said. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Pretty blunt. I'm going to read a story today that Jesus told, and someone recorded it. His name is Matthew, and he was a tax collector. Maybe he sent me that letter. And he's a tax collector, and he was a crooked tax collector. He was skimming money off the top, and he was keeping it for himself. And at one point in his life, he went to a talk that Jesus gave, and he decided to give his life to Christ, became a Christ follower. And everything changed for him, especially in regards to money. And Jesus told a story one day, and it caught his ear. Because like he knew some things about money. And so he recorded the story down, and then later he put it in a small biography that he wrote about Jesus that's in the Bible now. And I want to read you the story. So just listen to this. It'll come up on the screen. Here's the story that Jesus told. Give us some context about money. At that time, God's kingdom will also be like a man leaving home to travel to another place for a visit. Before he left, he talked with his servants. He told his servants to take care of his things while he was gone. He decided how much each servant would be able to care for. The man gave one servant 5 bags of money. He gave another servant 2 bags, and he gave a third servant 1 bag. Then he left. Now pause for a second. Here's the idea that Jesus is trying to get across. God is the master, and here's something to think about. God decides my portion. A lot of dissatisfaction in life is because I'm not satisfied with my portion. I either have too much, I don't want all that responsibility, or I have too little. I'm dissatisfied with my portion, and that can lead to resentment, even resentment towards God. Because I don't have the portion I think I should get. A lot of contentment is just being able to stop for a moment and saying, God, you decide the portion that I get. You know who I am, and you decide my portion. So that's the story. And then he left. The servant who got 5 bags went quickly to invest the money. Those 5 bags of money earned 5 more. It was the same with the servant who had 2 bags. That servant invested the money and earned 2 more. But the servant who got 1 bag of money went away and dug a hole in the ground. Then he hid his master's money in the hole. After a long time, the master came home. He asked the servants what they did with his money. The servant who got 5 bags brought that amount of 5 more bags of money to his master. The master said, "You have done well. Master, you trusted me to care for 5 bags of money, so I used them to earn 5 more." The master answered, "You did right. You're a good servant who can be trusted. You did well with the small amount of money, so I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my happiness with me." Keep going. Then the servant who got 2 bags of money came to the master. The servant said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of money to care for, so I used the 2 bags to earn 2 more." The master answered, "You did right. You're a good servant. You can be trusted. You did well with the small amount of money, so I will let you care for a much greater things. Come and share my happiness with me." Then the servant who got 1 bag of money came to the master. The servant said, "Master, I knew you were a very hard man. You harvest what you did not plant. You gather crops where you did not put any seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your money in the ground. Here is the 1 bag of money you gave me." The master answered, "You're a bad and lazy servant. You say you knew that I harvest what I did not plant, and I gather crops where I did not put any seed. So you should have put my money in the bank. Then when I come home, I would get my money back, and I would also get the interest that my money earned." So the master told the other servants, "Take the 1 bag of money from the servant and give it to the servant who has 10 bags. Everyone who uses what they have will get more. They will have much more than they need. But people who do not use what they have will have everything taken from them." Then the master said, "Throw that useless servant outside into the darkness where people cry and grind their teeth in pain." And I want to work through the story backwards, starting with the last servant. So servant number 3, and sort of here's his take on things. Here's how he sees God. He says, "God, you want to make my life difficult." Just jot that in your notes. That's how he sees God. You know, "God, you're impossible to please. You just want to make my life difficult. No matter what I do for you, God, it's never good enough." That's his take on the whole thing. And it causes him to sort of disconnect. And if you think about this servant, I mean, what does he really do? It's not like he loses the money. It's not like he steals the money. You know, he doesn't take it for himself. He just goes over and he hides it in the ground. It's almost like what he's wanting to say when he buries it is, "I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to disconnect from the entire thing." And he admits that he's afraid. And fear will always cause disconnection in my relationships. When I'm afraid, I will disconnect from people around me. I'll even disconnect from God. He said, "I was afraid of you. So I wanted to put some distance between us. I know how you are. You're hard to please. I'm never good enough for you." Do you know anybody in your life that's buried the whole idea of God because that's how they see him? Maybe they picked up that in church or their family or some way along the road, somewhere they got the idea that God's impossible to please. He's never satisfied. So at some point, they just decided to bury that whole idea of God could be for me or with me. They just put it in the ground and buried it, hoping that if it stayed buried long enough, you get so disconnected, you can almost forget that something is buried in the ground. Do you know anyone like that? Or do you have anything in your life? You buried it away. Fear caused it. I want to disconnect from it. And it's ironic that the way he sees God is, you only bring difficult things into my life. You're so hard to please. You bring things in my life that are a struggle. And he sees that as qualifying who God is. Instead of another angle, what if the master's strategy is, I allow some difficult things to come into your life so you'll turn to me, so you'll remember me. He buries it hoping, I don't want anything to do with it. I hope I forget it. I don't want to remember it. But what if sometimes God brings difficult things into our life so it causes us to turn to him and remember that I need you. I can't handle this by myself. Do you have anything that you've buried away and really the reason was you thought, God and I can't do that together? He'll be disappointed with the way I try. I know I'm not going to do well. And here's the problem I face sometimes, to put myself out there a little bit. I get angry or I get disappointed because the different things that have come into my life that God has allowed, so I'll turn to him, I find fault with. Struggles come up in my marriage and I'm angry about it. Something happens in, you know, where I work and I'm upset about it. And I really do think this sometimes. God, why do you have to make this so difficult? And so just realizing that those could be opportunities to connect. But not with this servant. Look at the second one. He approaches it entirely different. Here's how he sees God. He says, you've given me a gift. The servant said, Master, you gave me two bags of money to care for. And circle gave me. I don't know what it is about gifts that cause this sense of belonging, or we treat them differently when you get a gift, or at least we should treat them differently. There's a story about these two brothers, elementary age brothers, and they're playing football in the house, and their mom keeps coming out of the kitchen, stop throwing the football in the house. And the minute she leaves, the football starts flying again, and they're goofing around throwing the football in the house. And all of a sudden, she's in the kitchen, and she hears this crash. She comes running out into the living room and she just stops breathless because they've hit this vase off of this top shelf and it falls down on the ground and it breaks and she sees it all on the ground just shattered and she stops and she said, my mom gave me that. Which her mother had before she passed. She had seen it almost all of her life and she was hoping that her mom would give her that vase and she gave her the vase and now they're throwing the football around. And she doesn't say anything to him at all. She just goes into the kitchen and she comes back with a bag and she starts to scrape it up and starts to put it in the bag and not to break anymore. And then she just goes in the back room. She's crying. And the older brother walked out the front door and sat on the steps, and the younger brother didn't know what to do. So he went out and said, well, what are we going to do? And the older brother said, I don't know, but I'm never playing football in the house again. What is it about gifts that get so far into us? You know, gifts, not something you earn or deserve. Gifts. This servant sees what he's received as a gift from God, and it motivates him. Wow, look what God gave me. To care for. Everything changes in life when you begin to see what you have as a gift from God to care for. The scripture says that all children are a gift from God. And I saw a great example of this. I asked permission to tell the story. My son's wife, Marcella, our daughter Marcella, when she was pregnant, it didn't take a rocket scientist to see that Marcella was super, super excited to become a mom. I mean, she just couldn't wait for the baby to arrive, and it was almost like you could see a dream coming true. It's like, I'm going to get to have a baby. It was this dream come true, and the day that Lewis was born early, so it was kind of nerve-wracking for us because he came really early on my birthday, steals my day, and so But he came early. So we go to the hospital. He knows everything okay. And we get there. And it's my Capono and I and Kalani and Marcella. We were there. Clarice hadn't arrived yet. And we came into the room where Marcella was. And we get in there. And I'm ready to see Lewis. And Lewis isn't there. Little baby Lewis isn't there. It's just us. And she said, well, he had to be taken out to be checked on something. You know, so we're all there just kind of waiting. And then the nurse comes back in. With Lewis, and as she walks in, naturally, you know, he's got the little baby like this, and she starts to move towards Marcella, and Marcella just put her hand up like this and just stopped her. And without saying a word, she just pointed to us. And so the nurse brought the baby over, and we all got to hold Lewis first. And I'll always remember that. You know why? When you receive something as a gift from God, you can share it. When you have a gift from God, it can expand and go out from you. You don't have to hold it. It's mine. So it was a gift. And this servant receives this as a gift from God. He sees the master as a giver of gifts. Totally different. Now the third servant, let's take a look at him. He says, God, you trust me. Now, a lot of times we talk about we need to trust God, take a trust up with Jesus is important, take little trust steps, and that's important with Jesus. But this is entirely different. This is a picture of God trusting us. Look what it says. The servant said, Master, you trusted me, circle that, to care for 5 bags of money. You trusted me to do this. There's a story about a king that had done a great job reigning in his country economically. The communities were strong, families were strong. Just this really a great job that he had done for a long, long time. And as he gets older and older and older, he decides he's going to select the next person to reign. And he calls all the youth in that were selected, big, big group of youth, and he brings them all into what would have been his royal court. And he brings them all and he says, one of you I'm going to pick to be the next person to reign. You're going to take over for me. You're going to be the next king. And he has them all receive a small seed. They all get a very small little seed, and they're holding it in their hand. He says, now you all have received a small seed, and what I want you to do is to go home and plant the seed and care for the seed, and next year, 1 year from now, bring back whatever grows. After 1 year, I want everybody to come back here and bring back in that pot that you've been given, so they have a pot in one hand, a seed in the other. Bring back in that pot whatever grows, and so they all leave. And the stories start to circulate after not too long. You should see the plant that I have. And mine has flowers all over it. And there's just all these stories circulating, except for this one kid. He can't get the seed to grow no matter what he does. I mean, it's just like a pot of dirt. No matter what, he puts it in the sun, it won't grow. He puts it water in it, it won't grow. You know, like anything he tries, he can't get this seed to grow in any way, and time's going by. Time, Mom, what am I going to do? It's just a pot of dirt, you know. No matter what they do, he can't get anything to grow. He's hearing all these stories about the plants, these beautiful things that are happening. Nothing for him. And the time comes that they're supposed to all return and see the king, and he doesn't want to go. His mom says, oh, no, you go. He goes, it's okay. You made an honest effort. Go back. So he comes in, and sure enough, the whole room is just filled with plants and trees and flowers, and everybody's pot is just overflowing with stuff, and he's got a pot of dirt, you know, in front of him, and he's standing in front of it. Here comes the king, who looks at all the stuff, and he's nodding, and then he comes over to where this kid's pot is, because he's left, he's hiding in the corner behind the crowd, and he looks at this pot of dirt, and he picks it up, and he calls the guards over. He says, bring the person, bring the youth, bring the kid whose pot this is to me. And he marches out in the front of the whole room with this pot of dirt and this young man. He sets the pot down, and he reaches down, and he grabs his hand, and he says, behold, your next ruler. And everybody's like, what? He said, oh, he goes, Before we gave you all your seeds, I ordered that they be boiled. So there was no possibility that any of them could grow. And now I know who I can trust. Do you ever see God from the perspective of He's trusting you? He's trusting you to do something? Do you ever see it from the perspective that maybe He's trusting you with the woman that's your wife to prove that a man can be faithful? If she sees one thing, she's going to see that. Maybe you have stepchildren and God's trusting you with those children to take the word step out and raise them as your own. Maybe He's given you a job and all hell breaks loose there all the time, but He's trusting you. He wants you to be someone that other people would look at and go, how are they doing that? What has God entrusted you with? He needs you. He's trusting you. This servant gets that. That's how he walks out. He comes right back. He said, I know you trusted me. It's amazing how that felt for the God of the universe to pick me to trust. What is God trusting you with? And could I go so far to say He's counting on it? He needs it? See, that's the story. The first servant, to recap, just buries it. I want to disconnect from it. I don't want to have to deal with what it is to be with God. I don't want anybody to know that it's happening in my life. I just don't want anything like that to occur. And the second person walks through it like a gift. And back to money for a second. When you see your money as a gift from God, because like if you're like me, it's so easy to feel like your money is yours because you earned it. This is my money. I earned this money. This is mine. And that's okay. I mean, if you approach it that way, but then also what comes with all of that is all the pressures are mine. But if I receive my money as a gift from God, it points me towards Jesus, and He walks with me with the pressures because the money is ours. If it's a gift. And then the last one is this idea of God would pick me to trust. He's trusting me to do something? Yes. Yes, He needs you. Maybe there's someone in your life that buried the idea of God a long time ago and they cross your path all the time and God is trusting you to help them understand that it's not that way. He's not too hard to please. He's not impossible to please. There's a lot of gifts for you you're missing out on. Now here's the bottom line, and write it in your notes. Money makes a mean master, but God does not. Everyone who uses what they have will get more. They will have more than they need. But people who do not use what they have will have everything taken away from them. When all hell breaks loose, the topic is money. And Jesus told the story. Matthew wrote it down because it really just gives us a drama that we can look at and say, well, which one do we want to be?